Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
School's been back in session for over a month now. And in too many school districts, parents rightfully have concerns about what their children are being exposed to. The public education apparatus is no longer something parents can fully trust, as there are too many special interest groups that have infiltrated these institutions, and in some cases, the government has stepped in to, quote-unquote, help students and schools. Reading, writing, and arithmetic, academics in general, seem to have been put on the back burner. And the nation's test scores are proving that sad scenario. What can be done? State Representative Stephanie Scalaba from the 12th Legislative District, which is Butler County, just south of Allegheny County, has become an education advocate, which we definitely need one of those or many of those in Harrisburg, and I really appreciate that. Anyway, she is my guest today. Thanks, Representative, for being with us.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. And thank you for all the important work you're doing to help spread the message and the awareness of these issues.
Well, we're trying to get the word out because I know parents, especially since COVID, parents are especially concerned about what their kids are being exposed to in schools because parents finally found out. You know, we've been warning parents for a long time, but it's hard to comprehend what schools are actually doing or exposing the kids to unless you actually are seeing it yourselves. With these parents were able to do that during the online classes. So, you know, you're a freshman. What have you seen in Harrisburg as far as even not necessarily just the education issue, but that also. But what have you seen in Harrisburg as far as special interest groups being involved in pushing things that are not healthy for the family?
Yeah, so you were spot on. You know, a lot of it started to come to light when parents first got their actual glimpse into the classroom, right, during mm-hmm. COVID when kids are remote learning. And parents are walking by, minding their own business, doing their work, going about their day. And they hear a quick, you know, something that's, mm-hmm. oh, that doesn't sound right. Why is my kid learning about this? So from there, you know, parents started to really pay attention more and start to ask questions that probably weren't asked for a long time. And similar types of things are happening in Harrisburg. And that's what I'm seeing as a freshman. You know, status quo is not always the way to go. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things that matter, but are done sort of behind the scenes, surreptitiously, if you will. And, you know, we just saw that with the election code, for instance. You know, changes were going to be done in the 11th hour, and it doesn't have the public's input.
Right.
We need to be cognizant of our job, which is to represent the people. And when you start excluding the people and excluding parents, you know, it's similar in a sense. My job is to represent people in the house, but parents' jobs are to represent the best interest and do the best thing for their child. And when we start to, as a society, expel parents from that proper role, it's the same thing that you do in government when you start to silence one voice over another. You can't do it.
Absolutely.
And it just leads to poor results.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, parents have too long, you know, just assumed that the 9 board members that were elected, you know, that many of them may have been, you know, they may have voted for those individuals. They just assumed that they would do the right thing for the kids. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. And as parents have become more aware, they become involved in attending school board meetings and such, which the DOJ doesn't necessarily like. And some school board members don't like the fact that parents are attending school board meetings to express their concerns. So recently, you know, there's been a big emphasis about the mental health of students, especially since COVID. Their mental health has been negatively impacted. So explain what happened or what was approved. It's a $3 million contract that was approved. Pennsylvania is the first state to do this, but they approved a $3 million contract. Explain who that was to and what it is.
Sure. And quickly, before we get into that, I do want to mention, you know, we're talking about school boards, and they are partly to blame, right? They do have some say, but there is a decent amount of regulation that is coming down from
mm-hmm.
the state.
Yeah.
And it's coming from the administrative agencies under the governor's authority. And there have been issues. We're in a lawsuit right now. I filed a lawsuit against the Department of Education, PVE, for some of their, quote, guidelines that went around and circumvented the regulatory review process that we have that gives the legislature some oversight power. And those guidelines are things that are going to be problematic. Again, they're divisive. and it's not necessary. It's not focusing on academic. It's not scholastic. It's nothing that should be going on in our schools. And again, parents probably aren't aware. And to a certain extent, the school is tied. Their hands are tied because their funding is going to get cut. Teachers can't keep their certifications if they don't comply. Mm-hmm. New teachers won't get a certification if they don't comply with these guidelines. And those are the CRSE guidelines, culturally relevant sustaining education standards. And those have 9 new competencies that require teachers to believe certain things. It mandates what they must believe, what they must know, what they must acknowledge. And I'm talking things of, you know, microaggressions are real, et cetera. But then they have in there that, you know, when you're in this context of diversity and equity and inclusion, that they also must believe that parents want the best for their child. Now, isn't that interesting?
That parents want the best or parents don't want the best?
They do. In that context, they're saying that you must believe and accept that parents always want the best for their child.
Right.
But then we're going to turn right around and we're going to say you don't want the best for your child when it deals with LGBTQ, transgender, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, how does that make any sense?
Yeah. Sounds like it's doublespeak, like in 1984.
It's a lot of doublespeak. Yeah. And people just aren't paying attention, or they just don't want that to be the case. And hey, I don't want it to be the case either. I certainly don't wish this for our country. And so, but ignoring it is not the answer, and it's not going to get better if people keep ignoring it. You know, it's going to come to the point where, like, I was a practicing attorney. I went to work every day. You know, we had our family, and I just lived my life, right? But I had a child. My mom passed away, and I thought, well, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, and I don't want my kid to grow up in a world where I can't help and help him grow into the best person that I know he's going to be. And so, and I'm not saying I'm going to dictate every part of his life, but my job as his mother is to protect him.
Absolutely.
And so that it took all of that happening for me to get this involved and say, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And so we need more people and more parents to be aware of it. Look, it's like what we're seeing out of Israel. You have to look. As much as you don't want to look, you have to look.
You have to
see the ugly, and you have to see what's going on, and you have to do something about it. As to this new KOOS,
let's back up real quick to the culturally relevant and sustaining education program, which is one of the things I was going to bring up later, but I'm glad you brought it up now. So you're saying that teachers must believe these things in order to teach in Pennsylvania?
Yes. In order to have their certification, this is in effect now.
Oh.
You must believe that microaggressions are real. You must believe and incorporate that into your teaching. You must do all of that. And there's more. I mean,
it's like 8 pages. Yeah, because I did download a copy that's like 8 pages of all these 9 points. But isn't that against the teacher's First Amendment rights?
I would think so. Absolutely. Wow. We're not saying you must believe that 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
But we're saying what you must actually believe in terms of ideas.
Uh-huh. Wow. So I can see the number of there's already a teacher shortage, and not only in just Pennsylvania, but across the nation. So I can see this creating a greater teacher shortage in Pennsylvania, except for left-leaning radical teachers who will gladly grab hold of this stuff and say, yeah, we'll believe that.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, wow.
And what we're seeing is a mass exodus of the more conservative teachers.
Yeah, and I think that's the intention. And I know the National Education Association is applauding that exodus of conservative teachers because, you know, according to the NEA, the kids belong to them, not to the parents.
Well, and when you see some of the Act 45 programs, like the continuing education programs, you know, that these teachers need to attend for their service hours, it has a series of concentric circles of what should be the biggest influences in a child's life. And in the middle is the school, the classroom, the teachers. And on the outer perimeter is family.
I don't think a lot of people understand, but those are Act 80 days. Usually that's when some of this stuff is being foisted upon teachers. It's during Act 80 days when the kids have those days off.
Right, and you either comply or you have to leave.
My advice to parents is pull their kids out if at all possible. I mean, education was the thing that got me involved, and that was back in the late 90s, 99, I think it was. But what I was fighting then, which was Channel 1, the in-school news program, which had fluffy 12 minutes. It was in the homeroom. It was 12 minutes long. There was fluffy newscasts, but the main thing, they were pushing commercialism, junk food on kids, as well as advertising some R-rated movies. But that's tame. compared to what the kids are being exposed to now.
Right.
It's very, very sad. Okay, let's go back to their mental health and Cuth.
Yeah, so now we decide to take a pivot and assume that parents aren't knowing what's best for their children, mm-hmm. aren't capable of having productive, beneficial conversations. And further, even if they are capable of it, we don't think it's their right to do anymore. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what Cuth is saying. And so Cuth is an online, digital-based mental health platform that students are getting access to through the schools. They are making this available for free to schools. There are about 30 or 31 school districts that have this now in Pennsylvania. It's free to any of them to opt in under this new $3 million contract. It was awarded as a grant from the Treasury.
From the PA?
From the
PA Treasurer?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's just the technicality part of it, that it has to, all of our funds have to come through that office.
Okay.
But this is, again, a push from the executive branch putting this forward. Now, there have been state legislators on both sides of the aisle that support this and applaud it. I am not one of those legislators. I am a legislator who believes that our parents have the right for our children to have sensitive conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if a kid feels more comfortable talking to a stranger. I'm sorry, but that's just tough.
Yeah.
You know,
Absolutely. There
are some conversations that in life you're going to be uncomfortable having.
I mean, whatever happened to
you
whatever happened to telling your child, don't talk to strangers? That used to be what parents told children.
Right. And now it's the exact opposite.
Wow.
And furthermore, it's parents aren't even saying talk to strangers. It's parents having no idea. Parents having no idea. And the kids don't have any idea. These are children. They're juveniles. They're adolescents. Their brains are not fully mature.
So this is
they don't understand.
Is this K through 12?
Yes. I believe it's K through 12. I'm not sure. I would have to double check.
Okay.
I want to say that it is 11 and up.
Okay, actually. 11 and up. Okay. But still, like you're saying, 11-year-olds, their brains don't mature. Even 18-year-olds, I mean, what is it? I think they're saying that it's not till kids are 25 that they're actually, their brains have fully matured, early 20s.
Right. And it varies by biology too.
Well, that's true.
You know, men's brains do not develop as quickly and as rapidly, to maturity as a female. And so these kids though, there's so much wrong with this. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
They could be talking to, an 11-year-old could be talking about suicidal ideation with an 18-year-old, and it's a stranger. It's in a chat room. We don't know, typically if you're sending your 11-year-old off to school, they're engaging with other peers of their age.
Yeah.
They're not being sent to the high school where they're going to interact with a senior, who you don't know, God forbid, gives them bad advice.
So explain a chat room as far as, I would assume my listeners understand what a chat room is, but explain it in case some don't.
So a chat room is where, and you and I, Diane, right now could go into Cuth. We could put in a valid working email address, make up a name.
Uh-huh.
And get access to these chats. That means you have SORNA, sexual offenders, in these chat rooms with kids talking about exploring their sexual identity, their orientation, their experiences. And I've looked at some of these. They are downright, they don't belong here. It's scary when you think that a stranger is listening and engaging and frankly can be using this to groom a child.
Yep.
We have real trafficking problems, too.
And this is not helping.
No.
And it's with taxpayers. And that's $3 million. I mean, it's not just like money that grew on a tree in the back of the, Capitol building in Harrisburg. It's taxpayer dollars that paid for this.
Right.
And taxpayers don't know about it. They don't know
what it is. And they're also having content moderators in here that will start to remove content that they don't find to be helpful. So if you have someone in there saying, you should go talk to your parents.
Okay.
Say you have a kid who thinks that their body doesn't match their personality.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another person saying to them, you should talk to your parents about this. The Cuth regulator, moderator, and they do push that agenda. They push LGBTQ.
I'm not surprised,
Would remove or could remove that person's advice to talk to the parents and leave only the advice that says, read this article about LGBTQ.
Wow.
Go to this person about it. Go to this provider.
Like you're saying, it's just so mind-boggling as to the fact that this obviously was approved somewhere along the line to spend the $3 million to give a grant. I believe these guys aren't even Americans, are they? Aren't they from London?
They are based in the UK.
Okay, yeah.
It's a UK company.
Yeah.
They have an office, I believe, in Kansas City, Missouri, I think, and a headquarters in 44th PA.
It's scary when you have school districts pushing the idea or, quote unquote, helping students in their mental health issues. Are any of these folks certified? I mean, are they trained to handle?
Very few. Fewer than 5% of COOTH users are actually speaking with a licensed professional.
Wow.
With a clinical psychologist or psychiatrist. Right. Some are social workers who, you know, are being told what they need to put out there. Mm-hmm. You're an employee, all right, of COOTH.
Right.
And I don't, you know, COOTH supposedly holds itself out as a HIPAA-covered entity. I don't believe that they're billing insurance for this, so I'm not entirely convinced they are a HIPAA-covered entity, first of all. But second of all, you know, this gets into questions of corporate practice of medicine, too. If you are not a medical doctor who has taken the Hippocratic Oath, you are not supposed to be, so we have similar things for lawyers, you're not supposed to be in business or partnering with people who are not of that same creed because you do not have the same values. And we have, you know, evolved our corporate practice of medicine doctrine mm-hmm. over time in Pennsylvania. But the concept remains that, for instance, with lawyers, you can't have a non-lawyer as a partner at the firm, someone calling the shots because they don't take the same ethics.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want valuing profits over the ethical part of this, of your job,
mm-hmm.
because your ethics are first and foremost. So when you have employees who are not licensed, they're not bound by the same type of oath to do no harm. Who do you have talking to your children? And then they're teaming up with celebrities like Lane Johnson, and they're telling these kids, hey, over the course of the summer, June, July, and August, you're going to earn double points if you start posting, reading, engaging, chatting, and looking at articles about conditions that could have absolutely nothing to do with you, for instance. So the more you engage and interact with COOTH, the more points you rack up. And whatever school has the most points at the end of the summer gets to meet a celebrity in the new year. Now, you want to tell me that's medical practice?
No,
can
that's
you imagine taking your kid to a physician? Yeah, and can you imagine taking your kid to a physician who says, hey, I want you to go in this room and let's examine every single part of you, and I'm going to tell you every disease that you possibly have, and you're going to have a hypochondriac child walk out of there thinking they have everything under the sun, when a medical professional would never do that.
Let's hope not.
Or should never do that.
Right.
Should never do that.
So Hollywood's
Well, they would stand to lose their license.
Yeah. So Hollywood's partner, at least some in Hollywood, are partnering with COOTH to encourage the use of COOTH. Now, what does COOTH do with this data? We probably don't know.
No, we don't know. We don't know. I have their privacy policies printed out. I'm going through them because I'm curious what they do.
Yeah. Now, are parents informed? You know, like you mentioned suicidal ideation. Are parents informed that their child has expressed these feelings?
Nope.
On COOTH? No.
Nope. So, they tell the school. They tell the school.
And then the school...
They tell the school if they consider any sort of behavior to be concerning.
So it's up to the school as to what they do with that data, with that information.
Right, right. And they might just have them talk to the guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. They may have a bend one way or the other. And again, it's not about which way they're bending. It's about the fact that you are taking the right of these parents to have the conversations with their own children away.
And I'm sure that there was no type notices sent out to... parents in this 30,
no notices.
Nothing.
Nope.
So no notices,
not required. They're doing this on their own and they're just facilitating it. They're giving the resources to the kids saying, here's what you can do. You know, and it's silly because you log in and it'll, you know, it could say something like, how are you feeling today? Happy or sad? Well, I can tell you that my kid, if I didn't let him have cookies for breakfast,
he's
going to say
sad. Yeah.
You know, and then they're going to say, well, why are you sad? Do you feel like your parents don't understand you?
Mm.
It's dividing the parents. It's putting this wedge between the family unit. And on top of that, you know, when you're mentioning privacy policies and what do they do with the data, do you realize these are children? They're not going to understand a privacy policy.
That's
and if
true.
They do, they certainly don't have the mental capacity to consent to it.
Right. So, wow. And I understand that you are working on legislation that will expose some of this stuff, the COOTH and such. Okay.
Yeah. So what we're doing, it's HB, let me see, I'm trying to get the actual name here. I don't know that we have a number for it yet, but keep an eye out because it's going to be coming.
Okay.
So what this is going to do is try to give parents advance notice and give them a say. And so it's going to require school districts to notify parents, not after the fact of entering into this with COOTH, but if they intend to provide this as a platform.
Okay.
And then it's going to require specific informed parental consent before their kid can be provided materials about the platform. They need to be able to share they are required to share updates about their child with the parent without requiring the parent to jump through a ton of hoops and write to know requests and all this other stuff.
And be denied. And
on top of that, if they're having these kids use this on school property or in school grounds, and when I say property, I mean school equipment, they need to let the parents sit in.
Okay, even such as a school-issued computers, laptops. Okay.
Yep.
Good. That covers all the bases. That is fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, people think this is telehealth, telemedicine. No, it's not. As a lawyer, I was on the fighting edge and the very frontier of telehealth when it came into be. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have licensure. We didn't have regulations for it. We didn't have, you know, insurance companies didn't want to pay for it. I started out my practice in healthcare, in healthcare law,
but as an attorney,
mergers, acquisitions, regulatory compliance, anti-kickback, all this stuff. And that is one of the most heavily regulated industries. And then we have these things pop up that aren't regulated.
Right.
And they want to get into the most sensitive parts of our children.
Yeah, without parents' knowledge.
Right, right. Without parents' knowledge, involvement, consent, any of it. This is not telemedicine. We're not taking this away saying your child doesn't need mental health care. They can't access mental health care. This is not mental health care.
And didn't Governor Shapiro just say, I think I just read something earlier this week, that half of Pennsylvanians who need mental health, need help in mental health, cannot access it, and he's going to do something?
Well, I hope he does. I hope we figure out a problem, because we do have a problem. The waits are way too long. You know, there's too few providers. The waits are too long. The quality isn't always there. We do have a problem. But putting our kids on the internet with total strangers and no oversight, no parental supervision, no parental notice or even acknowledgement or involvement of this is not the answer. That's not going to improve this. This is going to make everything worse.
Yeah, and as you've been saying, create the divide between parent and child even greater, a greater gap between that. I think that's part of the intention right there. I think that's part of the definitely NEA's intention, and they pulled too many strings, as well as Biden administration and Shapiro administration, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, there's also an issue with the student clubs and organizations, and you've introduced HB 1727. What is that?
Yeah, so that's another one where we're seeing, again, it's parents not getting information that they should have about what their kids are doing at school. So what we're seeing is a rise of clubs that say they're anti-bullying clubs. Mm. Well, that's great, right? That sounds wonderful. What kind of parent would be for bullying?
Yeah.
None, I hope.
Right.
But what they're doing is it's kind of surprise in a way, right? It's an element of surprise. And that's where the problem lies. If you want your child to be exposed to certain ideas, content, et cetera, okay, but that's your choice as a parent. And I have a choice to say, I don't want my child exposed to this. And so the problem is the lack of transparency. And what we're seeing are anti-bullying clubs in kindergarten, even in elementary school, that are introducing the gender unicorn.
Yeah.
That is putting ideas in a kid's head. Holy heck, I was a hypochondriac for a very long time. I mean, I thought I had every single thing wrong with me under the sun. Mm-hmm. And probably still do, you know? And there are a lot of kids out there that you are making their lives way worse. You're sending them down this path that they would have never gone down before.
Right.
And I, as a parent, want to know, if I'm telling my kid, he can attend an anti-bullying assembly, and I find out that this is talking about transgender ideology, I'm going to be livid.
Yeah.
And so parents have no idea. And the problem is, it's exposure. So once you find out later, it's too late.
It's too late. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you don't know how long either. And this is going to go to something else too. We can talk about books here in a second. This goes to something else where, you know, you don't know how often this is happening. It might not be a one-time exposure. This might be a routine thing. And before you know it, your child comes home and says they aren't who they think they are. Mm-hmm. You know, who you think they are.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So HB 1727 is another part of my package. I have several bills coming out. They're all focused on education. The more I'm in here, the more that this is my focus. Mm-hmm, I think it's the most important thing that we can do as a country, as a state, is clean up our education. Get us back on track. We are so far adrift from where we belong and what we should be teaching in schools. We're going to get surpassed. But the laughing stock of the world.
Absolutely.
You tell me how we're going to have people. You just saw what happened in Israel.
Yep.
Are we preparing our students when we're focusing in school on gender? Are we preparing them on how to build a defensive military?
No.
No, because are they able to do math? No.
No engineers. No. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
What about farming?
That's
true. You know, any of it.
Well, but then again, you know, Bill Gates is buying up all the farming land. He in China. So they can do something with it, so there will be no need for farmers, quote unquote. Yeah, sure.
So 1727 requires the transparency. It brings the transparency. It has to be 2 weeks prior to the start of the school year or the first meeting or activity of the club if they start later, whatever comes first. The mission and purpose of the club or organization, description of past or planned meetings and activities, a statement that the student can't participate in the club without the parent's permission, declaration that the parent has the right to attend a meeting or activity of a club or organization.
Okay.
Yep,
yeah,
that's
good.
The big one.
Absolutely.
That's the big one. And so absent good cause, obviously, if you have a sex offender, you know, that you can't have them there.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
Right. But if you're just excluding parents for no reason, they have a private right of action against the school. We're removing sovereignty. That's where it gets teeth.
Good.
Yep. And so the schools are prohibited from making it more difficult withhold or revoke consent than to give it. So there can't just be a bias that, oh, yeah, you know, and then make it difficult. So you're not sending home documents that say, unless you do something, you agree that they can participate.
Right.
No, it needs to be.
It'll be an opt-in rather than opt-out. So many things
that
with the public school system is it's an opt-out. And if parents don't opt out, then their child, they'd assume their child can participate.
Right,
but,
right. We're not going to have a default opt-in.
Good.
You need specific parental consent after they've been given all of this information.
Fantastic.
As well as not just what activities and meetings they did for the prior school year, but also ones that are planned for the upcoming school year. And like I said, you need to let them come in. And it's not just going to be school clubs and it goes into assemblies, et cetera. If the school is having an assembly, that's going to be covered.
Wow.
They
Very
need to
good.
Let the parents.
All inclusive. Very good. Yeah. Because so much is kids are exposed so much through assemblies as well as these clubs that, as you're saying, so many of them sound so benign, like an anti-bullying club, but that's not its full intent, as ulterior motives. So if folks have questions about this, these bills or any of this or a COOTH or anything, how would be the best way for them to contact you?
Go to repshalaba.com. repscialababa, repshalaba.com, and you'll find my contact information on there. There are a few other things that people might be interested that I'm also going to be bringing. There's going to be a limitation on the scope of advice that a guidance counselor can give at school.
Okay.
The second it extends beyond pure academics or career goals is the second they need to get parents involved. You start getting into social, emotional learning, behavioral health, mental health, all this different stuff. Anytime you get into the social type of cultural stuff, you are getting the parents involved.
Good. Yeah.
Yep.
Because they're being left out in the dark. I mean, social emotional learning sounds so fantastic, but when you dig into it, it is not fantastic whatsoever.
Right. And then there another thing that I'm co-sponsoring is it's the bills to, and it's not banning books. We're not banning books. That's what I want the message to be too. We're talking about books with sexually explicit content. Mm-hmm. And I've had some constituents say to me, well, you know, you could be banning great works of art based on perceived sexual content. And then when I show them the pictures of what's in there, of depictions of oral sex, very graphic pictures of oral sex, man on man, man on woman, woman on woman, all of this.
Yeah.
And what's the most disgusting is it looks, by the way they're drawn, it's kid on kid.
Yeah.
It's a child. It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And if this were held, if this type of material was held by a priest, a police officer, they'd be in jail.
Yeah. That's scary
Yet
stuff.
We're going to have it here in our libraries accessible to kids. Again, we're not saying rip these off the shelves. We're not banning books.
Right.
So that narrative needs to drop.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it.
Right.
It's not true. We're not banning books. But what we're saying is your parents have to say, yes, my minor can access sexually explicit content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to opt in.
Good. Because that's been a major, major issue. And of course, and the left uses, well, they're banning books, is book burning and all this kind of stuff,
that's
which is
propaganda.
Not true.
That's propaganda in and of itself.
Yeah.
That's not accurate.
Yeah.
Look, tell the truth. Don't tell it slant.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't know how to tell the truth in too many cases. Wow. Well, keep up the good work there, because as you're saying, the schools are the key, and that's why the left is attacking students so heavily, because they're the future leaders of this Commonwealth and of the nation. And if they can turn them against the country through this propaganda or confuse them about their sexuality, then our country's lost unless we take back the education system. That's just the bottom line. We've got to take it back.
You can't create mental health issues while you're claiming to address them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And again, her contact or her website is rep, I'll spell it, repscialababa.com, and you have videos up there. They can click on the video button, and that gives information on COOTH and other issues also. So again,
absolutely, and sign up for my emails too. You can do that also on my website. I try to be weekly on my insight of what's going on under the dome with this stuff.
Good, good. I really appreciate it. You take care. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.